This is Central Time. Now we are officially in fall, and for some people, i.e. me, that often means sneezing, sniffling, coughing, scratchy throat, itchy, watery eyes. In normal times, you could chalk that up to fall allergies. But how do you know it's not COVID-19 or a cold? Health experts say the cold is coming back now that people are getting together again and not always wearing masks. And that flu, virtually non-existent last year, it is also likely to return. The overlap of symptoms may have you fearing for the worst every time you feel a little bit off. So how do we know what we're dealing with and when we should call a doctor? You can join in at 800-642-1234. Do you typically have allergies this time of year? Do you immediately start wondering if you have COVID the moment symptoms appear? Does that overlap stress you out? Call in at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. You can also email ideas@WPR.org. Dr. Dylan Timberlake is an allergist and immunologist with Prevea Health in Chippewa Falls. Dr. Timberlake, thanks a lot for joining us today.
Great. Thanks, Rob. I'm glad to be here.
I'm guessing in your line of work, you hear the same question that's been in my mind a lot. What are these symptoms? Is this allergy? Is it COVID? Somewhere in between? How often do you get that kind of question?
Right. So obviously, as an allergist, I get that question quite a bit. And so the way to kind of address it is there are definitely symptoms that overlap between allergies, colds, and COVID. Those are going to primarily be symptoms of the nose. And so, you know, with allergies and colds and COVID, you can get a runny nose, you can get a congested nose. Some of that mucus can drain down the back of your throat, causing a cough. The big differences that I kind of focus on between allergies versus a cold or COVID, and colds and COVID have a lot of overlap, is typically there's going to be other symptoms that you can see with COVID and colds. And so something like fevers, you shouldn't see with your seasonal allergies. You can get a little bit of an upset stomach, but if you really have significant nausea, vomiting, you're not going to see that with allergies. And so really with allergies, you're talking nose and eye symptoms, and you shouldn't see a whole lot outside of those symptoms.
How bad has the fall allergy season been so far around Wisconsin?
Yeah, it's definitely been a pretty bad season. So in the fall, we see weed pollens like ragweed, and it's been a pretty bad season already. And so we're definitely seeing a lot of bad allergy symptoms.
I have been feeling that myself. What is it going to get worse or better usually this time of year from late September and on?
That's a great question. So ragweed and other weeds are pollinating right now. And so it's going to kind of be a stable season, I would expect, through about the first frost of the year. Once we really get a good frost, the pollen counts typically will start to drop off.
When people have a mixed bag of symptoms, when should they be seeking medical help? They're worried it's something more serious. What is the red flag or two that you suggest people watch out for?
Right. So when you're trying to differentiate, should I seek help? Should I get tested for COVID? Should I be worried about a cold? My by and large message is we should always err on the side of being overly cautious and assuming that this is COVID, assuming that this is a viral infection until proven otherwise. The other thing that really helps out is, you know, people can develop allergies throughout their life. That being said, most people who have suffered from allergies are going to be suffering from it for multiple years. And so if you're someone who year in, year out are having these allergy symptoms, and this is your typical time of year that you get them and you're starting to develop them again, yes, that is probably allergies. That being said, if these are new symptoms for you, even if they're new symptoms for this season, right? If we were in the beginning of the season, you're starting to get those symptoms. I advise people if you have a new runny nose, if you're newly congested, if you're having any of those symptoms, it's probably best, at least at the beginning of those symptoms, to go ahead and get that COVID test to make sure that we're not dealing with COVID.
Let's talk about flu a little bit, which we didn't have to do much last year. It was a staggeringly low flu season because of, I think, COVID precautions, but there's concern it might make a comeback. How do we detect a flu versus those allergies or a mild cold?
Yeah, that's a great question. And you hit the nail on the head. Last year, we really didn't deal with a lot of flu. And so a lot of the precautions that we took from COVID, we really saw a decrease in all respiratory viruses, including influenza. I have heard the same thing that you have heard. We're expecting this season to definitely start picking up here soon. With flu, you're going to see a lot of similar symptoms to COVID, right? So fever, chills, muscle aches, along with the runny nose, congested nose, coughing symptoms. And so similar to what I talked about before, if you have new symptoms of runny nose, congested nose, you're still going to err on the side of getting that looked into. You should definitely get that looked into if you have other symptoms as well. You know, you have the fevers, you have the muscle aches with it. If you have anything else with that new runny nose, that's going to really push you over. From a differentiating between the two, as of right now, a lot of the time when people are going in and getting tested, it's just for COVID. We're not really seeing a lot of flu in the community right now. There are ways that when we do viral testing, we can check for multiple different viruses. And so there are a lot of organizations that I believe will be switching to doing a COVID and flu test together when patients go in. And so you could get those results together.
We're talking about the differences between COVID, the flu, colds, and allergies when we start to have various symptoms. Dr. Dylan Timberlake is with us, allergist and immunologist with Prevea Health in Chippewa Falls. You can join in at 800-642-1234. If you've been sniffling, coughing, feeling tired, dealing with headaches, are you worried about what you might have? Are you a regular seasonal allergy sufferer like me? Has something worked for you? Do you have a question for our guest about allergies? Call it at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. You can also email ideas@WPR.org. We'll pick up the conversation coming up on Central Time. This is Central Time. I'm Rob Ferret. We're talking about seasonal illnesses and allergies, how to tell them apart, and what to do about them. Fall allergies are out there. COVID is too. Colds making a comeback. And health experts think the flu is likely to return this winter after being virtually non-existent here last year. Dr. Dylan Timberlake stays with us, allergist and immunologist with Prevea Health in Chippewa Falls. You could join in at 800-642-1234. Have you been trying to distinguish these symptoms for yourself? For your kid, do you have questions about allergy seasonality, about the treatments out there, and more? Call 800-642-1234. Let's bring on a caller now. Brian is with us in Eau Claire. Brian, hi.
Hi there. So my question is about treatment of allergies. My son and I both have them. My son pretty bad. And we were doing the shots for a while to build up the immunity, and he didn't like the shots every week, so we switched to the drops. I don't know if you're familiar with that. I'm just wondering how effective are either? Is one better than the other?
Thanks for the call, Brian. Dr. Timberlake?
Yeah, Brian, that's a great question. And it's one that we get a lot. And so obviously, as my general disclaimer for everyone, you know, this is going to be general medical advice for specific questions. You can talk to your allergist or primary care docs about it. But when you look at allergy shots versus allergy drops, which are sublingual drops that go underneath the tongue, the biggest difference I tell people is shots look to be a little bit more effective, but also with a little bit of increased risk in terms of some side effects with those shots, whereas those sublingual drops are still effective treatment options, but typically are a little bit less effective. But then you're also looking at some decreased risk and decreased side effects that go with them. And so really looking and weighing risks and benefits of both and what works best for your individual life and health goals.
Brian, thanks a lot for that call. Good luck to you and your kid. I feel you. I had allergy shots for about 10 years when I was a kid myself. Thanks for calling in at 800-642-1234. And Dr. Timberlake, that reminds me, I know some conditions look different when kids, especially little kids, get them versus adults. Do any of the things we're talking about look different in children than the grown-ups?
No, by and large, a lot of the allergy symptoms we see, cold symptoms, COVID symptoms, look pretty similar between adults and children.
You can join in at 800-642-1234 if you have a question about allergies and how to tell them apart from colds, flus, and, of course, COVID. What is some of the cutting edge right now, Dr. Timberlake, when it comes to allergy treatment?
So when we're talking about environmental allergy treatment, really we're looking at our tried and true things that we've been doing for quite a while, to be honest. And so when I have patients who come in for environmental allergies and we do allergy testing and find out that they're positive, the ways that I talk about treatment options is really three different things. So once we know what you're allergic to, we can talk about avoidance measures, or if you can't avoid those certain types of allergen triggers, we can talk about how to decrease your exposure to those. Your second option is going to be medications. And so we can talk about which medications would work best for you based on what works best for your life and based on also the symptoms you're having. And then the third option, as the last caller had mentioned, is allergy. We call it allergen immunotherapy is by and large the term, but most people know that as allergy shots. And what we do with allergy shots is we expose you to a small amount of what you're allergic to and then slowly increase that over time to essentially make your body immune and realize that you should no longer be reacting to that. And so really, most allergists will look at all three of those treatment options, discuss those with patients, and then try to fit what works best for you and your personal health goals, and then kind of pick a treatment option encompassing all three of those, or two out of the three, or kind of pick what works best for you.
Now, you tweet with the handle @AllergyOnTheRun, and I saw an interesting factoid there. I think a lot of people with allergies have thought, should I go hunting for possible allergens in my yard? If I'm reading your Twitter feed right, I shouldn't really worry so much about that. Why?
I appreciate you looking at that. But so the reason is there was a really interesting study where I think it was the Navy who did it, who they took a ship about 200 to 300 miles offshore and they collected pollen. And what they found was they could still find pollen that was from the shoreline that far out into the water. And so really, you know, if you come in and you have allergy testing and you're allergic to, let's say, a maple tree and oak tree, and you look out in your backyard and you see maple and oak trees, taking down those trees clearly based on that study isn't going to be beneficial for you. That pollen is really light, fluffy. It blows in the wind. And so you're going to be exposed to if it's in the region. And most allergists are only going to test for pollens that are relevant to the region that you're living in.
Okay. And I've heard that you mentioned earlier, actually, that people can grow into allergies. People who didn't have allergies can get them later. Do we ever grow out of them?
Yeah. So allergies can change over time and it can go either way. And so you can have people who didn't have environmental allergies growing up and then develop them in their 20s, 30s, 40s. Most of the time, we don't see people who weren't previously allergic developing allergies into their 50s and 60s, but it can happen. And same thing, there are younger people who have allergies and then just naturally over time, they outgrow those allergies and become less allergic.
Time for one more caller if he's ready. Oh, nope, not queued up yet. Okay. Oh, no, there he is. Mike is with us in Madison. Mike, hi.
Hi. I'd like to ask in regard to the shots, why is it not the same when one is exposed to an allergen over decades that you don't build up an immunity to it?
Yeah.
What is different about having shots?
Yeah, I want to know that too.
That's a great, great question. And so what we know is that your body, so when you're allergic to something, it's actually just your body's immune response. And so when we say allergies, we're talking about an immune system response. Your immune system is there to help you to fight off infections. And so your allergic response is actually part of your immune system that helps you to fight off infections. What we know is that if you're exposed to different triggers, different allergens, different, infections in different areas of your body in different modalities, your body is going to respond differently to that. And so with environmental allergens, the reason that we become allergic to them, or I shouldn't say the reason, but the way that we react is all environmental allergens are light and fluffy enough that we breathe them into our nose and that response is happening in your nose. When your body gets exposed to those allergens in a different way, so in our shots, we put them just underneath the skin in something called a subcutaneous injection. When your body sees it that way, your immune response in your subcutaneous area is different than that in your nose, and it learns that it shouldn't respond to that. And then your immune system actually changes so that you have a different type of immune response to those allergens, less of an allergic immune response. And then that will ultimately decrease your allergy symptoms on exposure to those allergens.
Awesome. Great question. Thanks, Mike. And Dr. Timberlake, thanks again for joining us today.
Yeah, great. Thanks for having me.
Dr. Dylan Timberlake is an allergist and immunologist with Prevea Health in Chippewa Falls. We talked to him about the differences between fall allergies, colds, the flu, and COVID, and what we should do when we get symptoms.